Let's pray. Lord God, through your word, prepare the way to our hearts for your coming. Then come to us and show us your salvation. Amen. The sanctuary is ready. Thanks to everyone who came yesterday morning and decorated for Christmas. It looks great. But how about you? Is your tree set up? Is the wreath just placed just so? Are the lights on the house? Have you had those since before Thanksgiving, maybe? And the weather was nice, although today is a good day to get them up if you don't have them yet. Is that extra turkey you purchased at Thanksgiving, is it stuffed in your freezer already for Christmas dinner? Have you started writing your Christmas letter yet? I got a little bit of a feeling of resentment this week as I got my first one the day after Thanksgiving. It's like, who are these people? They're good friends. Do you have your Christmas picture taken? The one that goes on the Christmas card. My wife is looking at me and shaking her head. Right? Have you thought about baking those Christmas cookies yet? How many rounds in are you, or are they still on the to-do list? Are you done shopping for presents yet? Have you made plans for time away, vacation? Or maybe the big question is this, are you ready to pay for all this stuff? Maybe you're thinking of how you can plan better for next year already. But the big question is, right, are you ready for Christmas? I think I covered everything, right? Oh, except for this one thing. How's your heart? I'm not talking about exercise so that you can cram in all the junk food that you're planning on eating this holiday season. No. How's your heart? Is it prepared for the coming of your King? Toward the end of our reading from Luke chapter 3 today, we hear a prophecy from the prophet Isaiah, who described John the Baptist's job description. 700 years before the boy was born, he wrote that John would come to prepare the way for the Lord. That phrase, prepare the way for the Lord, that's a phrase that refers to an ancient Near Eastern custom. When the king came to town, his servants would go ahead of him to do construction work, to fill in potholes, to make everything smooth and nice for the king's arrival. And so the question is this, is your heart prepared? Is every valley in your heart, every low place where something could hide, is it filled in? Is every mountain and hill, those high places of pride, are they made low? Are the rough ways made smooth? Are the crooked roads, have they been straightened out? If we were to take an x-ray of your heart, would the film reveal remaining crookedness, things that are not in alignment with God's will, crooked roads that make us unprepared for the King to come to us? What is it that makes the road to our heart rough and uneven, pockmarked and crooked? What is it? Lately, has it been the busyness of the Christmas season? Our to-do lists are long, and not just during the Christmas season, but it seems like especially now when we make decisions about what on the to-do list is going to get done and what isn't, do the external things get prioritized while our hearts get ignored? Do we get all wrapped up in the world's shallow and sentimental view of Christmas and end up skipping God's word and his prayer, worship, and devotion? Okay, Pastor, we might say, right? I know how to straighten out that stretch of road. I'll do better. I'll do more. Then I can maybe be prepared for Christmas the way you want me to be. But wait just a second. If you're honest with yourself, don't you have to admit that there are more jagged corners and rough edges on the road to your heart? Pride. Pride resists the enthronement of any king but me. Selfishness refuses to see any route through life but mine. Dishonesty, harshness, crude words, bitterness, resentment, manipulation, all these make the road to our heart nigh on impassable. And aren't there some segments, too, that go in circles, that get us stuck again and again in shameful and destructive habits? What did John the Baptist do to straighten out the people of Israel? Well, God called John to preach a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Repentance. Repentance is a key concept for the Christian faith, but I think it's probably one we don't think about enough. Repent. That's the English rendering of two original language terms with different but related meanings. The Hebrew term is easy to act out. Here's how it goes. Means to do an about face, a 180 degree term. The Hebrew term talks about what happens when a repentant heart sees and notices sin. We're going one way, and all of a sudden, God's word, God's law reveals our sin to us, and we can't ignore it any longer. And this Hebrew word for repentance means I see sin and I say, no! And I turn around and turn away from it. I can't stand the idea of remaining in my sin, so I have to turn around and go a different way. That's the Hebrew term for repentance. The Greek word for repentance, it's a little bit different, but it's a related meaning. It means a change in thinking. It's not as easy to act out as the Hebrew turn around 180 degrees, but it accurately describes what happens in the heart of someone who does so. Oh, I used to think I could continue in my sin, but now I realize that I cannot keep living with it. My thinking about my sin has changed. I hate it, and I want to leave it behind. That's repentance. And you just can't be ready to meet the Lord when he comes without repentance. Notice I don't say you can't be ready to meet the Lord unless you stop sinning. Right? We all have a sinful nature that moves us to do the things that we hate. Paul himself wrote all about that in Romans 7. Go ahead and read it when you go home today. What I'm saying is this. You can't be ready for God to come to you if you're still holding on to your love of sinning. When we protest God's will in our hearts, when we self-justify and self-excuse, when we know what is right but fully intend to do what is wrong, we are putting up a barricade. God, don't come here. Don't work here. I prefer my heart just the way it is. Thing is, though, even that won't stop it. God's coming is ultimately inevitable. But when God comes to a stubborn, a prideful, a selfish, unrepentant heart, his arrival is terrifying. One way or another, your thinking about sin will change, either now at God's call to repentance or on the last day when God's righteous anger is revealed against it. That's why John came preaching repentance. John knew that as long as they loved the sin in their lives, the people of his day wouldn't be ready for God's arrival. But his call to repentance was not just a call to do more, to do better. No. He preached a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. His message was about more than just cleaning up the lives of wrongdoers. No, he came to prepare their hearts. You can't be ready for forgiveness if you don't think you have any sin. And so he came preaching the sin-revealing law, and yet his focus, the one to whom he pointed his hearers, was always the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Friends, this is critical for repentance. It is not enough to know that our hearts are crooked and uneven. We must also know the one who is able to bring low the mountains and fill in the canyons to make straight what we have made crooked. It is not enough to recognize our sin, to be sorry for it, to be bothered by it. No, if we're going to turn from our sin, we need to know where we should turn to. We need to know where to take our guilt and our shame so that it can be dealt with once for all. We need to know the power that changes our way of thinking, that gives us a new mind and a new heart that hates sin and wants to leave it behind. And that's what John pointed the people of his day. That's what John points us to. That place, that person is the Messiah. The one who brings forgiveness and healing to crooked-hearted people like you and me. His cross is where we turn. All who come before him in arrogance and pride will be brought low. But when we approach him with sin that frightens us, he never responds in anger. When we approach him in humility, he never grinds us farther into the dirt. He lifts up the humble. He comforts the fearful. He restores the broken. He welcomes the ashamed. He forgives the guilty. He strengthens the weak. He levels the uneven and straightens the crooked and makes his salvation known to all who are in desperate need of rescue. Repentance can sometimes be a scary word. It can sound like guilt. It can sound like work. But it is neither of those things. It is a turn to Jesus in faith to receive his forgiveness and to have him work in you. Friends, don't let your ear be deaf to this Advent call to repent. Turn from sin. Turn to Jesus, the one who has come, who still comes to us, and who will come again. John connected repentance with baptism. As he washed people's bodies, God was working too, to wash, or in Isaiah's words, to straighten out and level out their hearts. And for you and me, Christians today, baptism is still an incredibly powerful thing for our lives of repentance. At your baptism, the Holy Spirit worked forgiveness for all your sins. He delivered your soul from death and the devil. He gave you eternal life as a gift. It was in baptism that the Holy Spirit took your pothole cratered heart and made it flat and smooth, a road fit for a king. There, he united you to Christ as he came to you. He covered your sinful life with his perfect righteousness. He erased your record of sin by applying his more than enough payment on the cross. He brought Jesus to you and made him a home within you so that the life you live today is really his life in you. Not only does that mean that you now live an eternal life through your resurrected Savior, it also means that you've been given the mind of Christ, the heart of Christ, a total change in thinking. And when the mind of Christ applies itself with the power of Christ, you have everything you need to say no to sin, to throw off its chains, to live in victory over it. The sinful nature in us, it doesn't just lie down and die. No, every day it needs to be confronted with the power of Christ that we received in baptism. And that confronting our sinful nature with the power of Christ that we received in baptism, that is what repentance is. When our sinful nature causes the road of our hearts to crack and buckle again, we turn back to the promises of God in baptism. We turn back to the Savior with whom we were united there. We take our place at the foot of the cross, and we find our life in the one who stands outside his own empty tomb. We take shelter in his word of forgiveness, and we take strength and courage as he lifts us up, straightens us out, and sets out with us to walk the road on which he has set us. So, are you prepared for Christmas? We still got a ways in our household to get everything ready. But even if the Christmas card becomes a New Year's card, or not every kind of cookie gets baked, or we don't establish every family tradition we wanted to, that will be okay. Because even if nothing on our list gets done, we can still be prepared for Christmas. Because the one thing that's really needed to welcome the King is a heart that's prepared to meet him. And by God's grace, that is what he is giving us. That is what he has given us in baptism. That is what he still works to give us as he works through word and sacrament to bring us to repentance every day and to faith that receives God's forgiveness every day. And so we pray, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly.